Mambo, Mambo Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo, Mambo Italiano, go, go, go.
Well, this is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. Nico Osteria Restaurant in the Thompson Hotel is giving away a classic Italian wedding reception for up to 100 guests. You have until Saturday, March 14th, to register. Joining us from the Thompson Hotel is Director of Events, Christina Mondutz, and the Thompson Hotel Executive Chef, Tim Graham. Thank you for coming in. It's great to see you guys.
Thank you.
I didn't screw up your last name, did I?
No, it was Mondutz. Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you.
I love this giveaway. It's so great. You're giving away an Italian wedding reception. How did you come up with this?
So we were talking about what we can do creatively with our whole team, and it was first 50% off. And I said, why don't we give 50% off? That would be really fun. And our general manager said, why not a whole wedding? And
smart.
I said, okay. So there we are.
Right. I like that. I mean, I've been to many Italian weddings. Of course, the Godfather, Connie, when she married Carlo. I mean, that's our visual. So what are we going to see here at this wedding reception?
Yeah. So you'll see, you know, classic Italian treats. So we have a rustic Italian menu, three courses. We have three tiers that you can pick from. Then you have pasta hors d'oeuvres. We can start with some Prosecco, start with some antipasti, either pasta or entrees, and then finish with some dolci. So desserts.
Chef, you came up with this?
I was a part of the team.
So Graham is English, Scottish, what is it?
Scotch-Irish, Timothy Patrick Graham, good name.
And you're the executive chef for an Italian restaurant.
Yep, for the Thompson Hotel, where Nico Osteria is, and right. All of our events are featured Nico by Osteria, so we're you know, trying to up the game in the hotel events game.
How did you get into this? Was your mother a great cook, grandmother? I mean, it's got to be somebody in your family.
Absolutely. The food's been a huge part of our family celebrations forever. And, you know, weirdly, during the bread machine era.
When was the bread machine era? The 80s?
Yeah, okay. late 80s, mid-90s. Right. My dad loved those things, so he'd set the timer. We'd open our front door as latchkey kids, and mm-hmm. it would just smell like amazing bread. And
isn't
I never,
that wonderful?
Yeah, it really was.
So did people buy those ovens? Because I remember my mother did not want to buy one. She tried to make it in our oven. I remember... as a young kid, I'm Lebanese, so my mother would make baklava, and she would take the dough and make the dough, and then she would lay it over a pillow for like 24 or 48 hours in our living room. So we'd come home, and we'd have pillows of dough. But making bread, it's kind of tough, isn't it, with the dough?
I think it's tough if for the neophyte. Once you get in there, you know, like bakers do it like they're sleeping. So.
Right. I am so impressed by executive chefs because you guys are creating something every single day.
Yeah, we have an amazing team at Nico. We're, you know, I think the chef, we're leaders, and our teams are creators. You know, we're kind of creating at a higher level, but the day-to-day execution of every dish is done by the amazing people on our line.
How do you come up with daily specials? Because they have to be special to be a special.
Right now, it's becoming amazing and super easy again because we just got English peas from Washington. We're hitting spring. We just got white asparagus. We just got stinging nettles.
English peas. I don't even know what that is.
Spring peas. Sweet peas.
Okay. All right.
Yep. But
so you think, okay, what can we make with these? All right, guys.
Yep.
Give me five things right now. We're doing it this week.
Yep. What's the farmer got this time? You know, it's been the winter's tough in Chicago. So
oh, yeah.
You're like, man, we're going to braise something again. We're going to use beans again, you know.
But it's comfort food, though. You want that during the wintertime.
Absolutely, you do, yeah.
Yeah, definitely so. So you're a left side of the brain creative guy.
I think so, yep.
Okay.
So
I like that. So classic Italian. What are we talking here? Pasta, chicken? You tell me. What's on the menu?
Yeah, for, I mean, everything from lasagna rotolos to amazing, but we make all the pastas in-house. We just put one on yesterday that's a nettle and ricotta cheese-filled sacchettini with spring peas and
I don't
spring
even
mushrooms.
Know what that means, but it sounds wonderful.
It's a little sack. It holds the filling. So beef and involtini just went on the menu. We just did a steak Palermo, which is crusted in just wonderful Parmesan crust with some vine tomatoes that are charred. So we're really trying to look towards Italian regions and draw inspiration from... you know, little cities and cultural traditions that they have and bring them here to Chicago.
Explain to people the difference between homemade pasta and store-bought or packaged pasta because I can tell the difference because the packaged pasta sits in my gut like a concrete block. I can always tell fresh homemade pasta.
Yeah, I think the key word there is fresh. Like, you know, we've got a whole kitchen on the third floor that those our wonderful team just makes pastas all day long every day.
Right.
I think the shapes like orecchietti, the little ears, our rigatoni that comes out of the machine, like you can just tell. I think our recipes are less generic.
Okay.
You know, they're dialed in maybe a little bit more.
Well, so. I think people expect now to eat at a higher level, especially here in Chicago, because all these food shows, and they can go home and make it. And when they go to a restaurant, they have higher expectations, don't they?
For sure.
Yeah, definitely so. Now, do you do pasta with, like, vegetable pasta, too?
Yep, the new one I was just talking about is vegetarian. We've got probably my favorite shape is pappardelle, those big, wide, thick noodles.
Okay.
And that's with a mushroom cream sauce right now. We always have 2 to 3 vegetarian pastas, not setting out to be vegetarian, but because that's what pasta sometimes is.
Isn't that crazy how vegetarian has changed from when we were kids? I mean, we had no choices. It was terrible. And now, I mean, these dishes are so creative and so delicious. They're fantastic.
Absolutely. I think chefs, restaurants, guests, consumers, they all expect a super high quality dish, whether or not we're not just pulling out the meat ingredients and serving the other 3 ingredients that were on the dish as our vegetarian entrees anymore. We're creating and spending time ordering great ingredients and thinking about them and cooking them with strong technique.
You know, in the movies, you see if somebody has a great meal, they call the chef to come over to the table. Do people do that in
For
real
sure.
life?
Yep.
Do they really?
Yeah. I mean, I make it a point to walk through the dining room a couple times a week.
And in the white coat?
In the white coat. That's what people like. You know, it's there's something about it that's like when the magician shows up.
You know, right away. You're the chef, man. Yeah, you're the guy.
I know.
Yes.
And so I get a lot of credit for others' work. That's the wonderful part about the team of a kitchen.
Right.
Is that we all have our role, and as long as we all do our role, you know, guests are smiling and they want to come back.
And did you start out as a dishwasher and just slowly work your way up, go through school and the whole deal?
I started at McDonald's.
Did you really?
Yep. And that's how I got my high school car. And then went to culinary school and just never looked back, really. So,
how many people work under an executive chef?
Oh, at the Thompson,
yeah.
We have, I don't know, somewhere around 80 probably.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So you're in charge of 80 people. I know you got people under you, but do you have meetings once a month?
Once a week.
Once a week.
Yep. The great part about Thompson, and I think one of the secrets to that size of a crew, is communication. You know, you're just always trying to make sure that, because somebody will be off Tuesday when you made a big announcement. Well, you got to make sure on Wednesday that they still have that information, you know, so it's...
That's so true. You don't really think about that.
Yep.
And you want everything to be consistent, too. How do you do that?
Absolutely. Oh, that's one of the real struggles.
I think that happens with any restaurant.
It's day to day. You just got to pay attention and you got to applaud success. You got to applaud when they're doing it right. And you got to nudge them to do it a little differently if they've gone off a different path.
And Nico Osteria, I want to say that you guys, there's some Italian seafood dishes on there, right?
Yeah, we have quite a few. We just updated our crudo yesterday, a combo of a duet of snapper and tuna with amazing wild fennel that's coming out of Washington also. These new spring ingredients are what it's all about right now.
How do you come up with that? Are these Italian recipes or you come up and just add an Italian flavor? How does that work?
That dish was because of that ingredient, the wild fennel.
Okay.
A lot of the dishes, like the new steak dish, the steak Palermo, that's almost like me and you would know what we were going to get with a Chicago dog. You don't got to tell everything that's on it, right? Like in Italy, somebody would know, oh, I'm ordering steak Palermo. That's all needs to be said. And so we research Palermo, the town, we research the dish, and then we just zhush it up a little bit with some chef flair, you know, so.
Right. And you have to be authentic because, I mean, Chicago is a melting pot, and people visit here all the time, and they don't want to go to your restaurant and say, oh, wait a second.
What's he screwing up?
Yeah, what's he doing here?
Yep.
I don't really understand it. And Christina, as you are the director of events, I'm sure you've planned hundreds of weddings.
Not hundreds, but almost.
A lot of weddings.
Yes, a lot of weddings.
What's people's biggest concern? You want the big four, right? You want the church, the hall, the food, and the entertainment.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think food is where we really excel with Chef Tim and his team. It's really about the Italian cuisine and the rustic Italian family style menus, and we can also do plated. So I think it's really important to people that they have good food. I know before I go to a wedding, sometimes I'll eat, but if I'm going to Thompson Nico.
That's so funny.
I do
that too. I do that because it's never enough food or the food just doesn't taste good.
You don't know what's going to happen, what they're serving, what the quality. So yes, that's why I really love selling at Nicostria and Thompson, because we have such amazing food and such an amazing staff.
What's the craziest ask for a wedding?
Oh, goodness.
If you can't say it on the air, because those people are going to know. But
So I had a divorced mother and father from the bride's side.
Worst.
And during the practice, you know, we were rehearsing, I was asked to make sure that the father and his new girlfriend were sitting all the way in the back. So.
Oh, yeah, you got to separate people.
Yes. So,
the seating chart.
Yes,
sure.
And all I did was just let it all play out, because in the end, it's all the nerves. So as long once you get there, it all works out.
Beforehand,
so I just
everybody's
back.
Crazy, aren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly, they are.
Just nuts. Chef, how about you? Any crazy things you've heard for a wedding or planning some food?
No, I think I was surprised at how many times we've fed in the rooms the parties, the bridal parties and the groom's parties,
mm-hmm.
and how different the asks are for the bridal party room and the groom's party room. There's a beverage difference, not just food, you know? So,
okay, of course. Right, yes, so. Definitely so. Well, we're going to bring the entire staff in, and you're going to feed us today. What do you have for us?
Yeah, we brought a couple bites. We've got some really awesome from our happy hour.
You know what? Save that. I'm going to do a break, and then you can explain all of this, and you're going to pair this up with, what do you have, champagne?
We got champagne, rosé, and prosecco.
Wow, this is great. Nico Osteria and the Thompson Hotel giving away a classic Italian wedding reception. Christina, where can they sign up?
Yes.
To win this.
Yeah, if you go to www.nicosteria.com/wedding-contest or just go to nicosteria.com.
And it'll be right there.
Yep.
Awesome. Quick break and we'll be back with Christina and the chef next on 720 WGN.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Nico Osteria in the Thompson Hotel is giving away a classic Italian wedding reception. In studios, the director of events, Christina Mondutz, and the Thompson Hotel executive chef, Tim Graham. And you brought some food in. Here comes Dave Schwann. Have a seat right there, Dave. You can pull it up.
Hello.
Yes, Curtis is in the other room. So you brought food and pairings. How do we know how to pair wine and champagne with different foods?
That is a great and deep question, but I'm going to give the surface answer. So I think the two main parts. Okay. What do you want to drink?
All of it.
Okay, so if you're a red drinker, drink red with something that breaks the rules, because that's what you want.
So there's really no rules, is there?
People, there are rules, but those aren't the books I read, you know? So,
well, the rules were red wine with steak, white with fish.
I mean, I think it's all about your own personal experience. I think if you were to look at one thing that makes a guiding sense, whether red or white, is the texture or weight of the wine. The actual, like, you know, you can have a light red with your swordfish and it's awesome, you know, so, or a heavy white. You know, so
I had a. I'm a big Pinot Noir guy. I don't like a heavy red because if I drink a heavy red, I want to go home and take a nap. So I love the Pinot Noir, especially one that's very smooth. But the white wines are great now, and and everybody wants to drink rosé.
That is the
weather. If
you're
a female in Chicago, you want to have rosé all day.
Look at this weather right now.
Yes, it's very nice. All right, what do you have for us, Dave? Are you going to drink champagne or wine? What do you want?
I think I'm going to go with the champagne.
Champagne?
Yeah.
I think that's a good call.
Thank you.
Nice.
So, what we have here is the producer, Etienne. It's a dry champagne. This is my favorite one that we brought today.
Okay.
So, I would eat this one in our bar for happy hour, or I'd drink this one with our little cheddar cheese, Asiago cheese black pepper puffs.
Oh, that's refreshing.
So,
very good.
Delicious.
How do you know a good champagne compared to a bad one? Hangover?
Yeah, you got to drink a lot of them. I think the bubbles, the sweetness.
Okay.
You know, there's a...
What do you look for in a champagne? I don't even know what to look for.
For me, I don't like the ones that have a lot of yeasty, bready things. I like ones that are sort of fruit-driven.
Okay, I agree with you on that.
I really love ones that are pink.
Pink champagne?
Yeah, they make rosé champagnes. You know, because some of the champagne grapes are black. You know, a Blanc de Noir means black and white, so those both grapes are red grapes, and they just don't let the skins color it.
Okay.
So.
All right. I'm learning something new every day. So how would you describe that? Is that fruity, Dave?
A little bit. It's got some fruit in it, but it's, like I say, it's just more refreshing, a sparkling thing that would be perfect for a day like today, and you could use this with either meat or fish, I think. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely, you can.
Chef, champagne used to be only for special occasions. Now people order champagne all the time, don't they?
They certainly do, yeah. And other versions of bubbles, Proseccos, which we have a lot of, you know, the Italian versions. We got Spanish Cavas, you know, so there's, it's no longer just champagne's right to have bubbles.
Right. Okay. Now, what is Dave eating right in front of him?
Smoked salmon tartare with house-made crackers that I think is just going to be great with that champagne.
Oh, my gosh. Look at him. He's eating like he's going to the electric chair. That's just, wow. Man. So the Prosecco and the champagne, what's the difference?
Well, I guess others would really dive deep into that. I think for me, it's the country it's made in.
Right.
Which
because
also,
champagne, it can only be called champagne because of what?
It's made in the Champagne region of France.
Right.
You know, even California, we call them sparkling wine because
yep.
they told us, no, don't use the word champagne. And the law agreed.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yep. So Prosecco's from Italy. It's their sparkling wine tradition. It is made with different grapes than you'd find just because it grows in a different part of the world.
Okay.
But it also has a range of different styles, and really, you can hit the same notes.
I don't want to dig too deep into the grape thing, but how about wines that are made in Michigan, wines that are made in Oregon compared to California, and you have the Venezuelan wines. Explain a little bit about that.
Washington makes some of the best wines in the world.
Why is that?
And it's because the weather there can really match up to the areas in France and the areas in Europe that learned how to, you know, for hundreds of years, those guys in Europe were experimenting with what grapes grew best in these regions, and then they'd stop planting these grapes, and they'd start planting these grapes. And they were all monks, so they kept really good notes. So you could see, like,
what else did they have to do? They
yeah,
pray,
exactly.
They take notes all day,
yep.
and they don't talk.
So some of the weather patterns up in Washington and California really rival and match the weather patterns that you find in other places of the world. So when people identified that, they're like, well, hell, let's just bring some Pinot Noir over. This is the same weather as where it grows in France.
Right.
And sure enough, that logic worked.
So it's got to be cool.
It has to be cool at night and hot during the day. It's called the diurnal shift.
Okay.
So that's why that Napa Valley region, San Francisco region, is so amazing, because it's hot during the day, but then that mist comes in at night.
Oh, right.
And
yes.
cools the grapes.
That.
And yeah, that's why.
How about the wines from Michigan? Because it's always cold in Michigan.
Yeah, they're doing a great job up there. I mean, I think they use different winemaking techniques. So they're really good farmers. What we have to realize is that grapes are an agricultural product. Wine is a agricultural product, so farmers make it first, and they tend those vines in a way in Michigan that makes the final product. The winemaker then steps in and does winemaking techniques to make, I mean, heck, they're starting to make champagne in England because of global warming. Like, things are shifting all around the place all the time.
Right, right. If I go out to dinner, and people that are listening right now have no idea, some have no idea what to order, what type of wine. So can you just kind of give us the basics?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I think that what nobody should be afraid to do is tell their server what they normally drink. So
okay.
At home, I normally drink this fruity white that I really like. Well, the server's going to know on their list what's going to make you happy.
Right.
You know, you have
they need information, don't they?
Yep. You have
That's
no responsibility to know.
We just show up and we don't say anything, do we?
No. And, you know, it's a bit that they need to interview you.
Right.
Because you have no responsibility to know what's on that wine list. How can you know all those words?
Yeah, there's
you know?
So many wines on there. It's just so overwhelming. So you got to break it down for your server. You have to say, okay, I like a light red, and here's my price range.
Yep.
That's it.
Boom. They will, your experience is just going to be, now you're there in their hands.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to stress about it. All the decisions are made.
Right.
You know, so.
Damn. I didn't know that. Okay. What else do you have for us?
I've got
Dave,
some...
how was that, by the way? Can you describe that?
Oh, it was terrific. The salmon tartare, it had a wonderful, not an overwhelming fish flavor to it, but a great blend of the freshness you want with salmon.
That's how you know fresh fish, right?
Vegetables in there. It was delicious.
That's how you know fresh fish, chef?
Yep. Clean flavor.
Yep.
No linger.
Yeah.
So we brought bites from our happy hour. Also part of our wedding package appetizers.
Okay. Yep.
Salmon tartare is also one of our wedding package sort of antipasties that get passed around. And then something wonderful and kind of cool from our pastry department. This is ruby chocolate bark. So the
send that over to Dave. He's going to try that.
The chocolate's actually...
ruby chocolate bark.
Yeah. During the conking process or the chocolate making process, the chocolate naturally turns that pink color. And
does it taste like chocolate, even though it looks ruby red?
It does, yeah. Well, let Dave determine that.
It does, but it has, we're talking about fruitiness. If there is a fruity flavor to this. It doesn't taste like pure chocolate, like a good chocolate. There's some fruit element in
this. Okay. Refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I like that. Chef, you're looking at
everything.
Me like,
this is just a perfect blend of everything. Awesome.
Is that the thing with the Italians? Because I went to the south of France. I know it's not Italy, but I feel like they eat lighter and fresher. Is that true?
I would say 100%. I mean, again, like us, I would imagine in their winter, they're looking for some heartier food, but it's so nice down there all year long. They're eating tuna niçoise, and you know they're eating
just
wonderfully fresh stuff.
Chef, you're the best. Thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Christina, thank you. Give the website again where people can sign up to win a classic Italian wedding reception.
Sure. It's www.nicostria.com. And we're also really happy to have partners. We're giving 50% discount on floral with Elena's Garden Events and 50% off a bubbly cart from Bubbly Events. So.
And, of course, people check out the Thompson Hotel.
Please.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you for coming in. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN.